the offspring of the first found Primarch, the 16th Legion Luna Wolves were once known throughout the Imperium as its finest warriors, but now represent a byword for treachery and betrayal. They were once paragons of what an Astartes Legion should be, whose loyalty brooked no argument, and whose tally of victories was the envy of every army in the Great Crusade. Their ambitions were the ambitions of the Imperium itself, and their fall, its greatest tragedy. Know then that this is a record of the origins, histories, and structure of the 16th Legion as Astartes, so that we may at least attempt to understand the fall that came so dreadfully. In spite of their numerical designation, the 16th Legion is recorded as being one of the first fully active legions on Terra during the Unification Wars. Possessing an early strength of no more than 1,000 Astartes, its first recruits were drawn primarily from the subjugated populations of the Jutrigan Bowl and the Samsatian slums. Both regions were known for their harsh quality of life, even by Unity-era Terran standards, and the humans drawn from them matched the rapidly emerging character of the Legion to an almost perfect degree. The 16th Legion was immediately known for its hyper-aggressive style of warfare, favoring the use of shock assault tactics to cripple an enemy with the utmost speed. Their campaigns were often short and especially bloody, but it should be noted that their style lay not in wanton butchery, but in targeted strikes to tear the proverbial throat out of any opposition. Their savagery was always directed and rarely malevolent. In one account, by the time of the first lunar pacification, the Legion had perfected this method of war-making to such a degree that the lunar gene cults were brought to heel with remarkably little casualties, resisting the Imperial invasion for barely 6 hours until they, according to Crusade legend, begged the Emperor to call off his wolves. Whether this is apocrypha or not is unknown, but the name undeniably stuck, as after this battle the 16th Legion earned its first cognomen, the Luna Wolves. Their actions in the Coriolis enclaves left such an impression upon the region that the number 16 is still referred to as the Counting of the Wolf. While the wolf itself had long been rendered extinct on Terra, save only for genetic stock used to engineer slaved cyberbeasts, the Legion adopted the name with relish, as the mythology of a patient, deadly, and remorseless pack hunter resonated with their character. While the wolf would later become synonymous with the 6th Legion, the 16th were the first to bear it as their name and their symbol, and indeed wholly embraced the concept to the point that individual legionnaires would take to adorning their armor with the pelts of canids. The character of the Legion asserted itself early, born of the initial successes during the Unification Wars, but unlike many of their comrades, the Luna Wolves would be exposed to external influences much earlier in the Crusade. While history is unclear on the when or the where, the Legion was reunited with its Primarch, Horus Lupercal, before any other. The exact nature of the reunion is unknown. Some claim Horus was never lost to begin with, or that he was returned to Terra itself in his birthing capsule. Many more claim it was to the world of Chthonia he fell. These histories will be considered in a later record, but what the chroniclers do agree upon is that the Primarch was there to exert his will and formidable personality upon his Legion at a very early stage, and that the Legion itself was granted the planet of Chthonia as its primary recruitment fief. Chthonia, scant light years from Terra, was one of the first planets settled during the long ages of humanity's first stellar expansion. The planet was almost absurdly mineral-rich, and provided the raw ore materials required to fuel the Dark Age of Technology. Humankind ate Chthonia to its core, burrowing its metal teeth deeper and deeper into the planet's crust while scarring its surface with towering hive cities. This demand caused many of those in charge to disregard the safety of their workforces in a relentless drive for more profit. The labor gangs toiling deep in the planet could expect death to come readily and often, be it an explosive accident, a cave collapse, a magma breach, or a poisonous gas pocket. Those more poetic would describe the gas and dust-choked mines of Chthonia in terms of the Stygian underworld of human legend, hell on a planetary scale. Even before the Age of Strife cut off the human realms from themselves, Chthonia had long since been ravaged of its mineral wealth. No longer able to sate its appetite, greater humanity had moved on, leaving those too poor to afford passage off-world behind to inhabit the now industryless hives. Lacking any form of planetary governance or centralized authority, the descendants of Chthonia's labor gangs developed a gang-based culture. While doubtlessly barbaric by most standards, this would preserve human life on what was technically a dead and useless planet. Enclaves centered around charismatic or powerful gang leaders were carved out in the infernal heat of the old mines, obeying no law but the law of the strong. Might made right on Chthonia, and those who were cunning, cruel, and calculating would find themselves rising to the top quite rapidly. The rudimentary tribal groups often boasted clan armies of a sort, men and women bonded together by necessity-born traditions and led by the strongest and most capable amongst them. The effectiveness lay in the simplicity. A gang that was not powerful enough to resist the predations of another upon its territory or resources would simply die or be subsumed into a more powerful enemy. If resources were not required, some would fight to maintain or develop reputation, or to cull the weaker members of their own gang and blood those who desired to prove themselves capable. A surprisingly rich web of traditions, respects, and rivalries developed over thousands of years, but none could trump the simple truth that power flowed down the length of the blade, or from the barrel of a gun. It has been remarked upon by imperial historians that Chthonia was in many ways a representation of everything that the emperor had sought to quash on Terra, a festering hive of barbarity ruled by petty tyrants with no interest in the greater goals of the species. And in many ways they would be correct. Chthonia was beyond redemption and had no strategic value in either its location or industrial resource potential. The imperial truth and the manifest destiny of humanity held no appeal to the clashing tribes of the long-dead mines. But while its mineral wealth was long gone, Chthonia possessed a resource that, during the early crusade, was more valuable than adamantium: natural-born fighters. The first expedition fleet to leave Terra had marked the planet for total destruction, but the War Council overruled this. Some say it was the Emperor himself who saw in Chthonia the perfect aspirants for his legions. He also, by chance, happened to have the perfect legion. The 16th had, thanks to their role in the pacification of Luna, been granted the bulk of the satellite's Gene Forge output, doubling their numbers as the Unification Wars ended, and doubling them again as the first extrasolar expeditions were mounted. The gangers of Chthonia were impressed into the Imperial Army in bulk, but the finest killers and survivors amongst them were marked for Legion service. Shipped to Luna in their thousands and bred into Astartes for the Imperium's rapidly expanding crusade, these new recruits wrought upon their new brotherhood extensive changes, for they did not lose the multitude of customs, attitudes, and traditions that thousands of years of internecine gang conflict had created. As more and more Terran Marines fell in the crusade, and more Chthonians took their place, so too did the new culture of the Legion increasingly assert itself. Certain changes were cosmetic, like the slow adoption of topknots and mohawks amongst the Astartes of the 16th, both as personal styles and armor affectations. Armor modifications, such as carving scars over the eye sockets to indicate an honorable kill, became common. Legionnaires would often sport Chthonian mirror coin tokens. Chthonian itself became the lingua franca of the Legion, a kind of combat cant to maintain secrecy during field operations, were it to be required. This being said, the operational quality of the Legion was not diminished in the least. If anything, the addition of Chthonian stock merely made the Luna Wolves all the more effective in their war-making. The ruthlessness of the gangs blended perfectly with the 16th's already existing culture, forging a Legion that was as successful as it was brutal. The pre-existing Luna Wolf propensities for sudden overwhelming assaults matched the savage ferocity of Chthonian warfare, where it was always better to tear out the enemy's throat at the first possible opportunity. The maxim of annihilating the foe almost before they knew they were at war became akin to doctrine in the 16th Legion. Recalcitrant human realms the Luna Wolves encountered would often fall in the first engagement. The Legion identified as many critical threats as quickly as possible, and attacked and overcame each with stunning precision and matchless ferocity. Ships of an expedition fleet would often break into smaller packs to hit as many targets as simultaneously as possible, unleashing punishing close-range orbital bombardments followed by mass drop pod assaults on critical positions. Here, the Chthonian mentality would once again assert itself. In the mines, prisoners were just more mouths for a gang to feed with its already scant resources, and their defeat had already proven them to be of inferior stock. The Legion was not one known to take captives. War to them was a matter of choosing the neck and plunging the blade in as quickly as possible. On many a world, many a tyrant's palace lay in smoking ruin amidst the charred ash of a once proud capital city. By the time expedition, reclamation, and iterator teams began the work of converting the local populace to the Imperial truth, the Luna Wolves would often be translating out of the system in search of new conquests.